to stop, he said, if you don't want to hear about the blood, this is the church that you don't want to come to. And when he said the blood, that was exactly what I knew I was supposed to be preaching on today. So I started studying about what the blood accomplishes. And in Genesis 3:21, we find that in the garden, the very first bloodshed was to cover the sin of Adam and Eve for their disobedience. And it says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. He had to cover them. So he shed himself the first blood and made tunics to cover their sins right off the bat. And then as time went on, it continued to be blood sacrifices throughout the Old Testament until we came into Jesus' time. And what do we know that the blood does? The first thing that we know that it does, and as I go through these, just stop and think. Don't think about that God did this for everybody. Personalize it. And stop and think that if you were the only person that he had ever allowed to be born on this earth, he loved you enough that he still would have sent his only son to have died for your sins. So as we see what this blood accomplishes, I want you to apply it to your own lives so that you will see what he did for you personally. Okay, in Colossians 1:20, the first thing that we see that the blood accomplished was peace. It says, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So have you ever had a time in your life that you had something going on and you felt like that there was no peace, but then you got alone with God and you started praying about the situation, and then all of a sudden you just start getting this peace that is just, it's undescribable to you, because it's just a peace that surpasses all of your understanding. And you know that it came from him. This is the peace that Christ shed for you, so that whenever you're in these situations, you can go to him and pray to him, and he will provide that peace that surpasses all understanding to you. Okay. In Ephesians 1:7, the next thing that he bought and paid for each and every one of us is redemption. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So it was through God's grace towards us that he redeemed us back unto him, because without that grace, we were not able to ever be redeemed. We would be doomed to hell for all eternity if it had not been for this redemptive blood that was shed for each and every one of us. Okay, in Hebrews 9:22, he bought forgiveness for each and every one of us. It says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So stop and think about your life and all of the things that have happened in it that you needed forgiveness for. Well, he paid for this forgiveness through the shedding of his blood, so that you could have life and have it more abundantly and have life eternally for yourselves. So in 1 John 1:7, the next thing that he bought and paid for was so that we could be purified. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So not only are we forgiven, but we're cleansed by that blood. So we ourselves could never get that without the grace and the love that and the forgiveness that God has towards us in order that we could be purified from the sins that we have committed against him. Hebrews 10:19, the next thing that he bought was the ability for us to enter the Holy of Holies. To me, that's one of the most precious gifts that the blood bought and paid for, was for us to have that ability to go into the presence of God Almighty and for him to commune back and forth with us in that presence. The scripture in Hebrews 10:19 reads, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus," there would be no entering if it had not been for the shedding of the blood. In Hebrews 13:12, we are made holy. If you stop and you think about that, now we are an unholy people. But when that blood on Calvary touched that ground, we became a holy people. It says, "So Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood." So if it had not been for his willingness to go to the cross, to bleed and die for each and every one of us, we could not be holy. But we are holy because of that. Then we'll go on to Leviticus 17:11. The next thing we had is atonement for life. It says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." So if it had not been for the blood, our lives could not be bought and we could not have eternity with God. Revelations 1:5 tells us that we have gotten freedom through the blood. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us," now listen to that, "to him who loves us, has freed us from our sins by his blood." So we got freedom from the blood. Otherwise, we would still be in bondage. And none of us want to live like that, that's for sure. The next thing we got was purification. And in Revelation 7:14, it said, "And I answered, Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who came out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So once again, we are purified of all sin because of his willingness to die on the cross, and we are able to wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they become white because of the blood. Okay, in Romans 5:9, we are saved from God's wrath. It says, "Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" Can you stop and think of the things that you've done in your life and ask yourself, am I deserving of being able to come into the Holy of Holies and to have forgiveness and to be purified and justified and have atonement for my life? No, we're not. But he loves us so much that he was willing to do that for us. That's a great love. We're not even able to comprehend that type of love. We desire to gain that knowledge, but we're not there by any means. We are justified by his blood. In Romans 3:24, it says, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So we would be punished had not He justified us to be worthy enough to be His, to be called His very own. He sees the value in each and every one of us. We don't see our own value a lot of times, but He sees us for who He created us to be, and He desires for us to have life and to have it more abundantly. In John 6, 55 through 59, this is the one that I really like. It's called, He establishes our relationship with Him. It says, "For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." So stop and think about that. This is a two-way relationship. It's not a one-way relationship where God just says, "Well, I'm going to draw you in and I'm going to give you all of these gifts that I've given to you." But it is a relationship where we are to remain in Him as well. We are to desire to spend time with Him. We are to desire to be holy. We are to desire to commune with Him. You know, relationship takes work. If you stop and you think, in a marriage relationship, it's not always easy, but you have to be willing to work hard to have that relationship. And to me, there's no greater relationship than any of us could ever have than the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. So I would suggest to you that you spend time trying to build that relationship, because the stronger that relationship becomes, the better it is for each and every one of us. Not just some of us, but for each and every one of us. Okay, can you pull up the next scriptures for me, Charlie? Okay, let's see. Yes, please. No, Mark 4, 24 through 25, I'm sorry. Okay, once we realize what His blood does for us, then we have to ask ourselves, how will we steward what He has given to us? You know, these are gifts that He's given to us. Okay, it says, "Then He said, 'Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given.'" So He desires for us to have such a communion in our relationship with Him that He can give gifts to us, and that we can mature those gifts so that we can in turn take those gifts and give them out to a hurting world. And the more that we are willing to accomplish those gifts in our own personal lives, the more He is willing to give us more. He desires to give us all that He has, but if we're not willing to be good stewards of what He has already entrusted us with, then He's going to give them to somebody else that will. Okay, we are in the middle of His resources. And a faithful steward hears God through circumstances and through godly counsel. We hear it through peace. We hear it through people. We hear it through dreams and visions. We hear God's voice through our thoughts. We hear it through supernatural manifestations. We hear it through the Bible, and then we just can hear His voice. So if you're wondering how you hear Him, these are the ways that you hear Him. You know, sometimes, you know, you may be hearing God just from somebody speaking to you, and they confirm something that's going on with your life, or they tell you, "Well, this is the direction that you should go in." Then you have a choice at that point in time. Will you accomplish what's been set before you, or will you just say, "No, I'm going to do it my way anyway. I'm not going to listen to that godly counsel because that's not what I want." You know, that's not how God wants us to operate. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be willing to hear Him and follow His directions in our lives. So if we're not willing to do that, then how can He trust us with any more? He desires to give us everything, but if we're not willing to take it and use it and develop it, then He's not going to use us in those manners. The more that we do to establish that relationship with Him, the more He is going to hold us accountable and the more He's going to give us in order that we can walk in Him so that we can be that mission field that we have at that back door. It says you are entering your mission field. We live in a hurting society. There are so many hurting people out in this world. And, you know, you may be in a store and just walk up or overhear something and see somebody that's downtrodden and just give them a big old smile and ask them how they're doing today, and that may change their entire day. You know, just a little love. That's the one thing that every person that's born on this earth desires, and that is to be loved. So God is faithful to us. He loves us. He desires to use us. He wants us to grow in Him daily. He doesn't want us to be stagnant. He wants us to mature in Him. And that takes work, and it's well worth the effort to do so. But we're going to have communion, and I want the kids to come back in with the parents, but as we take communion this morning, I want you to just think about what Christ did for you in the blood. And as you take of Him this morning, don't take it lightly. Take it seriously as to what He's done. And as you come up, I'm just going to uncover the table today, and as you come up, if you'll just take the commodities and go back to your seat. And I've got a video that was filmed in Israel by, you can go ahead and get them, Tabitha, by Nicole Mullins. It is very touching as to what Christ has done for us. So just prepare yourself as we get ready for the communion and enjoy this video. You can come up whenever you'd like, as soon as the kids get back in.
Was a single mother. She was abandoned by the family she belonged to. And there in the wilderness with her son, alone, with very little provision, she was wondering. She was questioning. Does anyone care?
She's crying now. The desert. She's lost in her despair. She thinks nobody loves her. Hagar thinks nobody's there. But God says, I will be a ring of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst, and the power of my presence will bring her to her knees, and I will lift her up again, for I'm the God who sees. I'm the God. Oh. Then he speaks in gentle whispers, and he softly calls her name. you'll never be the same. 'Cause I'm the God who never changes, and my promises are true. And when this world deserts you, this is what I'll do.
And then there was another woman named Ruth. She was from the land of Moab. And she was met with grief and heartache. She was a widow. And she lived with her mother-in-law, who was also a widow. And now it was time to move on. But Ruth had never been to Bethlehem. She had never tasted of the house of bread. But now she had heard an inner invitation to come and taste and see. And so she vowed herself to her mother-in-law and said, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lie, I will lie. Where you die, I will die." And she begins a journey to the promised land. She's traveling through the desert, and she's leaving her despair. She's hoping for a future, praying God will lead her there. And he says, "I will put a ring around your finger, and I will bless a child. The Savior will be born through you to free the world from sin. And he'll make all things new for you and love you back to life again, again." And then from Ruth, who gave birth to a son, Obed, who gave birth to a son, Jesse, gave birth to a son named David. Now the same once shepherd boy, mighty warrior, anointed king, is alone, terrified in the darkness. He's hiding in the desert. He's battling despair. His life is over, it's over, and God, he doesn't care. But God says, "I will be the rock of your salvation. I'll hold you up by the strength of my right hand, and the power in the hour of your deepest need, you'll find that I am near. I am here, and I will be a ring of fire around you, and I will be the glory in your midst, and the power of my presence will
and he would reveal, and then he had an
an encounter with a woman named Mary of Magdala, who was plagued by demons, tormented by evil spirits. And Jesus set her free. And Mary followed him. She listened at his feet. She served him. And she loved him. Oh, how she loved him. But then she watched as they nailed him to the cross. And as they placed his body in the tomb, in that moment, her hope.
Would everybody stand, please? Let's lift the bread and let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much that you had such a love for us, that you were willing to send your son to die for us. Lord, as we partake of this day, Lord, we just exalt your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you'll lift the cup, please. Father, we lift this cup before you, O God.
And we remember everything that it bought and paid for. Lord, that it would strengthen us as we partake of it. And that we would never, never, never forget what it stands for. We praise you for it in Jesus' name as we drink together.
Okay, y'all can pass your cups to the aisles and somebody will pick that up. And I just want to close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every person in this place, oh God. Lord, that your strength and your healing would come upon them.
as they go out, oh God, that you would just meet the desires of their hearts, Father God, that there not be one thing left unmet. Father, we praise you and we exalt your name for who you are. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.